Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Benito. They happen to be one of my very good friends who I've personally purchased dinner for multiple times. He's never offered to pay for dinner once. He always thinks old Den's going to take care of it, which I do anyway because I'm Italian and I'm from New Jersey. So I think he just hangs out with me to get free food. But yeah, you may know him from his famous Instagram page. He was a law enforcement officer, and he now runs a lot of different, I'll let him tell you everything about it, police posts on Instagram. Today I have with me, Adam Hadary.
Did
I say it?
Hadary. I've been called worse today, as a matter of fact. So
say my last name, dude.
Dennis.
Yeah, that's my first name. Try the last
correct.
Name.
Correct. Bongino?
No, we're even. You're not even close.
Come on, dude.
Bro, it's Benino.
Close enough.
You've butchered my name worse than I butchered yours. Let's face that.
That's true.
All right, dude. So give everybody the 1 minute bio of who you are, or the 2 minute bio. And so they have an idea of what we're dealing with here.
Sure. Real quick. So got in law enforcement around 2013, spent about seven plus years in law enforcement, got out about 2020. And in the midst of all of that, I got promoted very early on in my career. About 5 years in, I was promoted to full-time training sergeant, and then did that for about 2 years, then left. And then in the middle of that, I was running this account called Police Posts, and was also starting a company called Effective Fitness Training, which now is my full-time occupation. And that's basically the Cliff Notes version of my resume. Not super impressive, but it is what it is.
Well, it's pretty impressive when they know what your following is on your social media accounts.
Yeah. So about 110, 115,000. I don't even know anymore, but it's pretty high. And that's really due to kind of being one of the first pages on an Instagram, really breaking down officer involved situations, incidents, or, you know, just trending points in general. And that was kind of the start of it. And then obviously being recognized on podcasts such as Joe Rogan and the Andy Stump podcast have really helped broaden that audience. So it's been a wild ride. I've got to meet some really cool people such as yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. You're in my top five, Dennis. So.
Whoa, that's huge.
That's huge.
Whoa.
That's huge. Top five is
huge. I
didn't
know that he was going to go this way.
I know.
Maybe you must have not met any interesting people too.
No, not really. So, I mean, I could probably say you're top two really. But
I wish I could reciprocate.
I know you have a much cooler circle than me, but that's really it. And, you know, I have a team now, and they are absolutely, absolutely on point and just so much better than I'll ever be when it comes to, just in the experience level of law enforcement. But man, it's just what a great team that I have at Police Post and Effective Fitness. And we're super excited for the future.
What made you start the Police Post Instagram account, and what year did you start it?
Yeah. So fun fact, I did not start the Police Post Instagram account originally. First, it was run by a buddy of mine who was in the academy class after me. And he was a trooper. His name is Hunter, and he's currently a sheriff's deputy in South Carolina. And he ran the page, and he wasn't really posting training. He was just posting pictures of cops doing cop things, cop vehicles. And he had a family. He has a very large family. And so he asked me to help him. And so I said, sure, man, any problem. You know, I was a single dude, cop, ready to roll, you know, and I fucked up at work one day. And I said, man, that'd be really good to tell people not to do, really. So basically what I did was I walked in front of a guy who was passed out drunk at a green light, technically. And I walked in front of his vehicle to try to wake him up, and car was still on drive. And obviously nothing happened. Wasn't a big deal, but I got in my, I got back in the car, and I was like, man, he would have just woke up and freaked out. I'd have been absolutely just smashed by this, you know, $85,000 Mercedes. And so that was, I was like, man, let me just find another video that kind of is very similar to that. So I found a video of a, I believe it was a guy who had been stalled out, and cops were trying to get him out of the car, and cops were running around the vehicle, and the vehicle, obviously he was able to get it back and drive or some type of moving fashion. And the cop didn't get hit or anything, but it was kind of a close call. And I said, hey guys, just make sure that you're standing in a safe position. If you're trying to extract somebody from a vehicle, make sure the car is either disabled or pinned in properly. And then after that, dude, just at that time, I had like 20,000 followers. And so now it's like, again, over 410,000. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think it's more. I think earlier you said 110. It's 410,000 followers. Great account.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I mean, and even being completely shadow banned when it comes to like the suppression, obviously, of the social media, anything pro law enforcement, even just pro training, is very difficult to grow. So it's, you know, you have to be very consistent and particular with your content if you want to grow a page that is, pro anything good these days.
Do you think that you are now on the map with the Instagrammers or Instagram account or Instagram company where they're actually like really always a watchful eye on your account?
Yeah. So I've been warned. I can't tell you how many times I've been blocked from going live. Can't tell you how many times I've had people, countless hundreds of DMs, people telling me I have to type in your full name or I haven't been seeing your post in months. And for some reason, I started unfollowing you and I know I didn't go to your page and unfollow you. So I don't know. I don't really let that get to me. You know, I just kind of like, hey, this is the mission. We're going to keep on going on. And just, you know, again, we have to get the word out. So that's what we're doing.
So like in our Facebook group, dude, I mean, you know, you've been around for a while with us.
Sure.
We used to post a lot of the seizures that people would go out and they would employ the tactics from our training. And it was just trophy shots nonstop. Well, they really started dinging us, you know, like for a post from 3 years ago. And this past in 2021, they shut us down in July. And I'm a part of other police groups and they're still posting crazy pictures of seizures and drugs. And we can't do it anymore because if we do it, they ding us. And we were turned off for like 11 days. We thought it was over. I was building a new group. That new group has like 30,000 members in it now, but they posted, they turned us back on. And I think what essentially happened was the bots got us and we had to be very mindful of the bots. And I think once you're marked, and you're watched carefully. And only one can speculate. The only person who knows the truth is that the people who work at Meta and Mark Zuckerberg. But same thing, man. I don't have any hard feelings towards it. It's part of the deal. It's their platform. And I'm just a guest on it. And I can't whine and bitch and moan because I literally built a company on the back of Facebook. You know, I really did.
Same. I mean, I built Effective Fitness basically as a sister off of police posts. I mean, I agree too. And I've talked to some other pages that are way bigger than mine. I've talked to some pretty cool people that are way bigger than mine. And they're the same thing. They're like, dude, I haven't seen your post. The censorship's insane. Joe Rogan in particular, like he told me he goes, man, it's absolutely crazy. The censorship out here. Cause I went to post a clip of, it was again, just him on his podcast talking to somebody about law enforcement interaction, specifically the Phoenix ambush that just happened where the 9 officers were shot. And he brought up the page on his show. And I just basically just took a clip of that to post it. And Instagram simply said, basically, we're not allowing this post to keep the community safe. And there was nothing, there was no graphics, no foul language. It was literally just a conversation between Joe Rogan and his guests. And that's when I sent it to Joe and I was like, check this shit out. And he's like, dude, this is absolutely insane. You know, especially all the crap he just went through. But yeah, you know, it's something that we're probably gonna have to deal with for as long as we're around.
You know, honestly, I mean, I'll play nice, but I'm certainly not gonna pander. That's for sure. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah, and I, you know, I want to advise people that like those who don't pander are the ones who people tend to lead and to follow. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's just the truth. You think about it.
Right.
President wasn't lying.
No. You know? Well, too. And I mean, not only that, it's even other companies in this field kind of doing the same thing. They're, you know, trying to find out how Dennis does what Dennis does. Street Cop Training is extremely impressive. What you guys do from the law enforcement side is extremely impressive, but also the business sense of what you do. And we've talked a lot about that offline is also extremely impressive.
Thank you.
And very hard, almost impossible to duplicate just because it's you and you have a vision. But you know what? It's the thing, man, is I give you a lot of respect for all the crap that you've received and it's always mission first, man. And that's one reason why I think we've clicked so well is simply because we see eye to eye on that.
Ignore the noise, stay focused.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do because it's going to be noisy and it's only going to get noisier. And, you know, yesterday somebody brought up and said, hey, you know, we're getting a lot more of this. I go, of course we are, right? Of course we're getting a lot more of it. And by the way, it's a great sign. It means things are going the way we want them to go. And it comes with the territory. And again, standing hard and not pandering. And by the way, we're going to make mistakes, right? We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes here. We're going to say things we shouldn't have said. Now we have 35 instructors in the field. I'm not a babysitter. And when something comes across and it's got to be addressed, I'll address it. You know what I mean? But I also have people's backs. I'm not going to sit here and get rid of somebody because they made a boo-boo or said something wrong. And it's not the kind of person I am. You know, as long as they're sorry for what they did or they recognize it as a mistake, I'm good with that. I don't care. Things happen. You know what I mean?
100%. That's what leaders do. That's what you're supposed to do.
Tell me about Effective Fitness and the program there.
Basically, Effective Fitness training was started because I was tasked in my agency to come up with a type of program to help cops become more aware of their wellness, their fitness level, and give them a resource for them to use to improve those things. Because obviously we know the data doesn't lie. You know, about 40% of cops are at the obese level. We know that cops have a very low life expectancy, and that could be due to multiple reasons. It could be physical, it could be mental, a mixture of both. Leaving that this is a very physical profession. If you're not training physically, you're not going to be training for success. So I decided to do about a year of data collection and diving into the research of whether it's worker comps claims, use of force, FBI UCR, and kind of coming up with a plan. Now, I'm not a fitness expert. I have absolutely zero fitness certifications, but what I did was I went, now I say that I've been training fitness at a high level. I played semi-professional sports. So when it came to fitness, it was something that I did basically every day of my life. I trained jiu-jitsu, been doing that for about 6 years. So what I did was one of my partners, Eve, is a physical therapist. He's a doctor in physical therapy, but he specifically worked in the performance area. So he wasn't really dealing with the mom and pop with that just suffered a hip replacement. They're working on how to enhance performance of another human performance. And then Dane he's also one of the other owners. So we have three owners, and he is a PTA. So he's a physical therapy assistant. And with that team, we basically developed a program that slowly started working. I was like, hey, I have this big platform. Let me see if we can make something with it. So we offered a product that was cost effective and really hit one of the key issues, which was the availability of good programming. So something that cops can go on their phone, open up the app, go in the gym, do their work, get the fuck out, get back on shift, or go home, right? And so we used a lot of science and research to drive that programming. Well, as the company started growing, we started getting more and more people. About 350 members, I decided, you know, we had some command staff changes in my agency, and you know, this was starting to go. And I was like, well, let me see if this works. If it doesn't work, I can always go back. And I just felt like my mission had changed, and I was able to help more cops out of a badge than in it. And I know the only way that was going to happen is here I am preaching about health and wellness and recovery, and I'm working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is not, it's not healthy. I truly believe you must practice what you preach. So I took the leap. I left one of the hardest decisions of my life, and it's just exploded. And so now we're at about 20,000 plus members all across the world. We're in about 12 agencies, you know, Seattle Police Department, Texas Game and Fish, Madison County Sheriff's Office, Boulder City Police Department. We've been working with the Michigan State Police here recently, which we're super excited about. And so what we decided to offer was, I was like, hey, we need to do more. Because just the fitness side is such a small detail. So with our platform, we're able to actually give coaching. So Dennis, let's say you're like, hey, it's deadlift day. I haven't ever really deadlifted before. Let's say you're brand new to fitness. You're like, I don't really know how to deadlift. Well, you can go on the app, you can look at a video, you can even send a video of yourself deadlifting, send it to our strength and conditioning coaches, and they will then break down your form and give you points of performance. But it even goes beyond that, because obviously now we have to talk about nutrition, right? Because you are what you eat, right? So we started really fine-tuning the nutrition side, offering a lot of continuing education, available education that they can either ask a nutrition specialist on the app about their fitness, their lifestyle, and we can provide guidance there. Because really nutrition is really more about behavior change than it is about like, I'm going to do a diet. It's about changing a lifestyle, changing a behavior. And that takes time, and it takes the right person to help you do that. With that, we started looking again, went back to the data, started looking at the upper extremity injuries, lower extremity injuries, and the causes of these injuries, and how we can't necessarily prevent injury, but we can adapt muscles to become stronger and more prepared. So with our physical therapy background, we have two physical therapists, two doctors, physical therapy on our team, and they have developed programs for the shoulders, knees, and lower back. Obviously, if you've been a cop, you wear a duty belt, you've been on a job, those three areas always fucking suck. And so we have to find a way to make those joints in those areas strong and resilient if you want to, you know, have a 20 or 25 year career in this profession, even in just a short period of time, right? Even with like 5 years on, you're not used to wearing a duty belt, your hips get all weird, your lower back gets messed up, sciatic comes back, all this stuff. We got to try to find ways to become strong and resilient. So With that being said, we started venturing off into the combatives realm. That's kind of what we're going towards now. And pretty excited to do that with Mr. Jay Wadsworth.
Yep. Oh yeah. The guy, the man.
The man, the myth, the legend. So Jay is an absolute unicorn in the profession as it pertains to hands-on combatives. He is a subject matter expert in the field, secondary black belt. So it was kind of a natural fit. So we do everything from academy, pre-academy to intermediate to advanced levels of training. And it's all for a very affordable price. We offer a 2-week free trial, and then it's literally less than $1 a day to have access to literally everything I said and more, because we do programs, we have one-off programs, and we also do give a lot of free information. We write blogs once a month. We give out free programs, whether it's about grip strength or push-up and pull-up programs. We just did a nutrition one where we actually gave people the ability to calculate out their macros. So how much carbs, fats, and proteins they should be eating to help them achieve their goals. And all this information is free. It's readily available on our website, blogs, nutrition. And again, we probably get 50 to 60 DMs a day on just the EFT page that is monitored by one of our coaches. And we're able to answer those questions. And it's just been really cool, man, just to hear. And I know you see it too, just like freaking trophy stories, trophy stories. We get those too, man. And it's what drives me to be better and what drives us at Effective Fitness to be better. And again, I couldn't do any of this without my team. So Eden Dane really helped me get my vision off the ground. And then Kelly is a strength conditioning coach. She's our head strength and conditioning coach. She's an absolute beast. She's been working with first responders and law enforcement for almost a decade now. And then we have Joey, Kyle, Ralph, Jeff, Jay. So, and they're all active dudes from California, New York, South Carolina, and from all different aspects of SWAT, patrol, street crimes, Marine units, canine. So we have a very, very, and oh yeah. And Sammy, we just brought another guy on too. So we have that active feel from law enforcement and the military side, and they bring such high level experience and training and knowledge to this team that is completely unmatched. And this is why we're just trying to be at the cutting edge to produce something that is actually beneficial for the community. It can actually be used. And this is something we take a lot of pride in. So I know it was a lot of me talking, but that's really what we have going on right now. We're super excited.
What's the website, dude?
So it's just effective.fitness, no.com. Super easy. And of course they can reach those on the Effective Fitness Instagram, which is effective.fitnesstraining on Instagram, or just through police posts and with the link in bio. And man, like just the amount of, we have some really great affiliates as well we've been working with to really get the message out. And so super, super excited. I never thought that this vision would take this route, but I saw a problem and I felt like I could help the community with a solution. And so we are a mission-driven company first. Hands down, if you work at Effective Fitness and you're not mission-driven, you don't work at Effective Fitness. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's interesting. It's a really, really simple mission. There is no fine print here. This is our mission to make cops better, healthier, and more effective.
Have you purchased your vendor booth for the 2023 Streak Cop Conference yet?
There. But we will be there.
Oh, you're fucking going to be there, dude.
We're going to be there 100%. We're already going to be at a couple things this year. But you guys aren't doing in 2022, correct?
It'll be April 23rd to the 28th, 2023, Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord at Opry. Don't worry, I'll break the chops. It's a badass place, man. Come hang out for the week, dude.
Oh no, man. Oh no, we'll be there. We've already planned on it.
I'm gonna guess. Oh, we had a little over 1,000 in Atlantic City. I think we're gonna do 1,500 to 2,000 attendees at this one. That's great. And it might be more. You know, it depends how well I can get it out there, get the word out there. But dude, you know, with all humility, there is no doubt in my mind that the first one we did was probably the best week of a law enforcement conference ever in the history of this profession. And if somebody thought differently, I'd love to hear how you thought what we did. And you know, dude, again, I'm collecting data for years, 20 years. I'm collecting data. I'm like, all right, how do we make this thing great? And so, you know, it's funny, at the end of the week, my staff was like, well, how do you make the next one better? I'm like, that's the fun part. And it will be better. And I will continue to top it over and over again. And bro, it's going to be legit. Like people are walking out of this 5-day program with so many useful tools. This is not a game of like, this is why we're cool here, blah, blah, blah. Let's do this. Like, here comes, they're going to put like a dancing circus show on. You get to watch. Like, we don't need the dancing circus show. No, we have like, hey man, this is how you're going to fucking find this stuff. Here's how you do stolen cars, how you stop human trafficking. Here's all these things. Here's how it works. And this goes on for, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, leadership, me, all those things. And it goes on for the week, dude. And it's very powerful. And I don't know if it'd feel right if you guys weren't there.
Yeah, no, we definitely have 100% intention.
So the promo code for the event, for the room bookings is going to come out on April 23rd because they can release it a year prior. Okay. So it's actually a significant discount. It's actually going to be, I think, half price for the rooms normally go for. So people are looking at them now and they're like, oh, they're $400 a night. Yeah, they're going to be $218 a night for 5 nights. And that's in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's a no-brainer. A lot of guys are actually coming and girls and making a vacation out of it. They're bringing their kids and their families and stuff like that too.
That's great. No, yeah. We definitely plan on 100% being there. Again, we're going to start. Our conference team is getting kind of boosted up right now. You know, so we have a conference team and a workshop team. We're super excited. It seemed like you guys absolutely are just doing amazing things. You know, with the Red Ninja, I don't even know his real name. What's
Kenny Williams.
Kenny. Okay. Yeah. I just know him as the Red Ninja and all the Pornhub memes. And then, and Tom Rizzo, a man like that, you know, he's also super motivating. And I mean, you have some really good instructors, you know, that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting. I know they follow the page and sometimes they will comment on stuff, but those two in particular are probably some of my favorite, just to hear them talk and the knowledge that they possess. People ask me all the time, who do I learn from? Well, I'm talking to one of them.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And there's no secret there. You know, guys like you, guys like Will Petty, guys like Jay, you know, I study because, you know, you guys are the masters of your craft at what you do. And you guys are actually out here making a difference. And I think that if more people focused on doing that, if you are trying to start a company and anything like that, if you really need to be more like those guys, because it's not only will it bring you success, it also bring you satisfaction from a level that money will never be able to do. And that's super, super important.
Isn't it amazing how a lot of us have all become friends through the law of attraction? And what you recognize in this circle of friends that we have, and it's a big circle, is that we're all cut from the same cloth. And I think the one thing that's the core of all this is, I think a lot of us are very loyal and very honest and very, you know, just good overall people. You know, sometimes some other people trickle in, but they don't stick around very long. So in this profession, you know, you watch people, there's almost two sides of it. There's people who gravitate towards what I consider to be less than attractive behavior, and they all seem to find themselves. And you got the guys on this side who are, I'm just behaving correctly, behaving selflessly, really purpose driven, working tirelessly. Have some talent as well. You know, Jay Wadsworth, he's working with you guys. He's working with us. As a matter of fact, before I got on the podcast today, I was asked to name his program because he's going to do a 1-day classroom program with us.
Right,
and it's excellent. You know what I mean? So, and we're thrilled to have him. And you know, I'm glad that people have found the value in what we're doing and just understand it and want to be a part of it. And that's very exciting, dude. And I don't come to South Carolina, but at least calling you and see what the fuck you're up to. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's the good thing about that is that we're doing it because we want to see something grow and we like seeing good people win. We like seeing,
hell yeah, dude.
You know,
like I love the fact that you're winning. Like, I can't tell you how fucking pumped up I am as you were telling me that you have 20,000. I'm like, yes. Like in my mind, I'm like, this is so good. This is so good. You know why? Because I just love watching other people. And then like, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker is my friend too. This is good. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like I like that, bro. Like, I like that we are going to be able to kind of change the game together. No bullshit.
Right. I mean, I took a pretty big risk last year. We gave away $1 million in agency health and wellness training last year. Okay. And it was, I went to my owners like, hey, I want to give away $1 million in training. And they're like, you're out of your fucking mind. And I'm like, sweet. So that means yes. Yeah. And they're like, it's your company. Like you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, okay, I want to do it. And man, it was the most work I've ever done for basically $0, but it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever been able to do. And I'll give you an example. And this is not to toot my own horn whatsoever. It's just great that I'm able to give an opportunity like this, that, you know, it really means more to me. Is so Boulder Police Department, they had an active shooter, and Officer Tally was shot and killed responding to that.
It was at the supermarket, right?
Correct. Yep. And I was looking on my schedule and I had a call with a sergeant from Boulder Police Department literally the next day. I had a Zoom call scheduled with him, the SWAT team commander. I sent him an email and I said, hey, Sarge, do not worry. If there's anything I can do, please reach out. Let's chat whenever you're free, whenever you're available, whatever I can do, please let me and my team know. And we'll be as much service as we possibly can. Well, he called me a week later on my phone, talked to him, you know, obviously sad, right? Diminished. And I asked him, I said, he's like, you know, talking about effective fitness. Now he wants to implement it within his agency. One of his guys does the program and he really likes it. And I said, hey man, why don't we just give you guys a free year in honor of Officer Tally? He's like, no, man, you don't need to do that. No, we do. We do. It was just kind of a sign for me, man. And he was like, sweet. Well, of course, the only thing that gets in the fucking way is attorneys, city attorneys. So 6 months of going back and forth with attorneys, we finally were able to get implemented. And really what I took away from this was one guy was able to push the standard because he felt that this is what he needed to do, not only for himself, but for his fellow officers. And man, like that right there was worth every hour I spent with attorneys, every upcharge from an attorney I ever got, you know, every retainer I ever had to refill was freaking worth it. And man, like it's just amazing to know that there are other cops out there that are just, there's hundreds, thousands of cops out there that are just like him. And man, it is just awe inspiring to know that, you know, there's so much good in this profession that doesn't get seen. Like, and that's what we try to do is we try to show people that, like, you know, 99.9% of, you know, of the cops out there are good cops. They are in the sense of they go to work. Now, of those 99.9% of quote unquote good cops, how many are actually out there being proactive and getting it and getting in the work done, actually want to improve and progress their agency? I don't really know. You probably know better than I would, but I wouldn't say 50% of those. I would say probably less than 50%.
I would agree. But
if you were to say that, that's still pretty fucking amazing. It's still half a million. That's still a half a million people that wear a badge and gun that are out there pushing the standard. And that is something that you can't put a price tag on because that is our future. And man, that's just what drives me and gets me motivated and really amped up when I see guys out there that are like, I'm going to go to admin and I'm going to go there every fucking day until I get a yes or a no, or until I get a yes. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Like that is the attitude that's going to change this. And you guys do a great job at Street Cop Training of really showing that from even just a straight up leadership standpoint. You guys absolutely crushed that. But really the moral of the story was being able to work with phenomenal individuals such as that SWAT team commander from Boulder Police Department have really, it just remotivates me and gives me more discipline to just do more and more and more and more. And we're going to do another million this year. We're going to give away another million this year. We did 12 agencies last year. We plan on doing 12 more this year. And that's just what we do, man.
What's the most profound feedback you've gotten thus far? Something that really stuck out. Give me a message.
A message. There was an officer that was shot in the line of duty recently. I can say his name, Matt Donahue. He was shot in the arm in the line of duty, responding to I believe it was a domestic call, and it was actually an ambush. He is a former military guy, from the best of my knowledge, a phenomenal human being. He was one of our members and he reached out to us telling us his story. That is just the one that just gives me freaking goosebumps. Like he was like, yeah, man, I was injured, but I was able to still get to cover, manipulate, return fire, stopping the threat, like fucking OG, dude. Like just.
And he chalked it up to you, some of your training.
Oh, you know, he sent us this long, long email, and the canine of that agency was unfortunately killed in the line of duty in that incident. They sent the dog and the dog ended up being shot, but all the officers lived, and he is now almost fully recovered. And he's actually I'm actually gonna have him on the podcast here soon. Super stoked. But man, that's just one thing that has always stuck out with me. I mean, we've received thousands of messages. The guy from Seattle who rescued the lady out of the collapsing house off a falling hill. He was like, I really chalked this up because I've been in your program for 6 months and I've never felt better. And I'm like, man, I didn't do shit, bro. You did all the fucking work. I was able just to provide you a resource that you were able to utilize because you have discipline and you have consistency and you just achieved the results that you would achieve because of just the hard work you put in. And man, it's just amazing to hear that, you know, and I'm sure you hear it all the time too, man, this freaking street cop.
How about this? Imagine had you listened to the fear and stayed in quote unquote the comfort of your job as a law enforcement officer and did not take the leap of faith to try to do something bigger than yourself. Would there have been a story like that? Probably. What would have been the outcome of that guy? You know, if you didn't step up and share the gifts that you have with the world.
Yeah. People ask me all the time, you know, of course, like the haters will come out. You're not even an active cop anymore.
And oh, I'm fuck
like,
that. Who cares?
And I'm like, that's not a secret, motherfucker.
Right.
It's I,
when I first started was, What does he know? He was never a supervisor. Well, first of all, believe me, I didn't have to be a supervisor to be a leader in my agency. That is for sure. I have many stories of those things. Number two, again, I'm not even pandering. I'm just, you know, you just get into yourself like, wait, are you really saying that about? And for me, I heard this thing recently and I love it. And I just say, where's the fear? When somebody's acting that way, where's the fear? Where's the hurt? Why are they acting like that? So, you know, man, it's a lot of people will defend us and that's fine. And by the way, you know, again, we're seeing things one-sided. There are a lot of people who are advocating for us and are big supporters. But when there's the naysayers, our supporters are very strong and firm behind us. They really believe in what we are and what we're doing. And, you know, when I hear somebody say something negative about me or this company, I just say, where's the hurt? Where's the fear? What is going on? Who's kicking their butt in the background? Is it themselves? Right. Is it somebody else? So, you know, I don't feed into too much. And if I had also, that's why I asked you that question. If I had also listened to noise, even the noise that was coming out of my head at times, you know, and it would have dictated my action. I don't know. It would have been very selfish.
I running police posts, I get all kinds of DMs. I probably get about 150 a day.
Do you really?
I don't. Oh yeah, bro.
Wow. I get like 22 on Insta.
Oh, dude, I get it's in. And most of the time it's either people just sending me garbage. Anyways. Yeah. So, you know, but then I also receive a lot of questions from cops about situations. And one of the most amazing things is when I post a situation or I break down a situation, you know, do a AAR, is I receive a message from that cop that was in, whether it's his body cam or his dash cam footage. And I have never received one from a cop. And I can say this with 100% certainty. I've never received one that I've broken down to where they have been like, oh, you weren't there. You don't understand. 100% of the time it's been, thank you for what you do. I really appreciate it. And then I'm like, hey, can you give me insight? You know, I mean, as much as you want to give me. So either I can, you know, add more to the post, or if I mess something up, or if the news messed something up and within their language. And most of the time it's like, no, man, this is great. Thank you for doing that. And that's also what gives me a lot of motivation to, you know, again, to really continue what I'm doing. Plus, like, you know, the police post training page run by Joey and Kyle, I don't do all of these breakdowns by myself. I have a team that does help me, of guys that are in the field that are doing the work. So that you're not seeing just me and my words. I run a lot of these posts through my team before I post, because we want to make sure this information is accurate, because a lot of people value what we put out. And if we're putting out absolute trash or not tier top quality information, then there's really no point of you wasting your time with us or on our page. So we really do vet our stuff. And if we do mess up, we own it, right? Sorry guys, I messed up on the backstory, or the officer gave me a different view. And it's just great that, again, with the naysayers and stuff and, you know, and the haters, my thought now is, imagine being so, having so much spare time and so just so negative and really have no goals in life to just comment something that brings no value to you or me. So just, you're literally wasting your time that you'll never, ever be able to get back. If you took all of the crap comments that this one person has said and put it towards, I don't know, learning about stocks or starting a business or
volunteering your time at a homeless shelter, joining the brothers and sisters, the big brothers and sisters across America, like all those things you could do with your time. But instead,
right. But instead you're going to post some crap on my page that you're probably going to end up getting blocked. Yes, I block people all the freaking time. If you say something stupid, racist, inappropriate, not beneficial, you're gone. I've had guys, oh, well, I have different accounts. I'm like, you are literally the definition of a fucking loser. That is the definition of a loser. Like, I have zero time. I'll just keep blocking this account, bro. You think I got time for you? I have a mission to fulfill. You bring me no purpose in life. My purpose is to, one, train myself at a high level, two, give my team and give law enforcement resources so they can train and be effective at a high level so that we can help change this fucking community. Because right now, law enforcement is still, well, according to Joe Biden yesterday, we're going to refund the police now. Fucking shocker there. bro, like, what? Did you watch it at all?
No.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Den just lives right now. Den maybe stockpiling some emergency supplies. That's about what I'm into at the moment.
Alone. Yeah,
that's about alone. It. And I'm probably putting people who live in my household into a complete frenzy and an anxiety tailspin, thinking that we're going to be invaded tomorrow. And that's just probably some of my compulsion of when I have my mind set on something. Sure. And today I'm going to pick up my final pieces of my puzzle. And after I get off of here, that's where I'm going to go to next. And then that compulsion part of my life is over. But, you know, it's actually a good thing to have, because I'm obsessed with this company doing what it can possibly do. And, you know, now it's really becoming very apparent to me how significant myself, guys like you, guys like other who have other training companies, not all of them, you know, you've seen some of the silliness and the drama that goes on in here. And you know, one thing we can say, actually, Jeff Smith is an instructor with us. We were on the phone yesterday because he had a few things to talk to me about. And somebody said something to him in class, said, you know, something, blah, blah, blah. How do you guys keep getting better? And Jeff Smith said, we don't even look left and right. We're only trying to compare ourselves to ourselves. What can we do? I don't give a flying fuck what anybody else is doing. I don't even know. People say, oh, you know, this guy, he's a trainer. You know, that company, you know, this guy. I don't. And I don't mean to sound rude by it. I don't spend any time worrying about what anybody else is doing except me. So I've heard the jokes about the Biden State of the Union address and all that shit. My heart really, really bleeds for Ukraine. I'm very, very upset about that. And I'm trying to do everything I can to help financially. I'm trying to spread some donations out. And we have friends that are Ukrainian that ask for portable radios to be sent. They're going to send them back to Ukraine. We bought them 20 of them, you know, so I have to stay in my lane, stay focused so I can actually help and use my energy appropriately and wisely to impact the world. I'm sure I've implored this on you plenty of times, but have you messed with some of the podcasts that I've given you?
Yes.
I'm going to give you did I ever give you the School of Greatness yes. by Lewis Howes, episode 1027. Have you listened to that one with Seth Godin?
I have not, but you have sent me. I haven't listened to that one yet.
Okay. So just go, listen, you can stop whatever you're listening to right now. Go to 1027. It's the episode on the School of Greatness podcast. I think I've listened to that in the past month alone, at least 20 plus times. And I got to tell you, I did a class yesterday in Connecticut and I'm driving back home and I listened to it again. And there were 7 more reveals inside of it. And I don't know if there's been a more powerful hour in 17 minutes I've ever had in my life than that. I mean, it's just very, very thoughtful. There are people who just know better than we do that we can listen to and make 100%. Us better people as well. No, so,
I mean, well, Dennis, you're one person I listen to as well. You know,
thanks, dude.
No, I mean, this is the reality is there is so much. Again, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We're all not perfect, but there are so many amazing qualities within, you know, certain level people. And I say level people, not even from like a financial standpoint, but just right. from just like an intellectual driven, they see things from a different side that we don't see. And I am learning that. I'm learning that. I don't think you'll ever really master it. I think you're always learning, but
always. You know,
right. And we've made many mistakes at Effective Fitness. And that's
make
okay.
plenty here.
Yeah, right. That's okay.
We made mistakes this year that were so significant financially that if I wasn't the most calm human being in the world, I'd probably lay down on the floor and cry. But you know, I told everybody in the office when we figured out something was wrong, and again, it was just a business issue. Sure. Had nothing to do with like we had issues, there was none of that, just like something wasn't firing because of miscommunication. And, you know, I said to everybody in the office, if you would have said to me, hey, this is your future. And you let me know if you want this deal. You're going to run a company. It's going to change your life. It's going to change a lot of people's lives. You're going to save lives. You're going to prevent cop suicide. You're going to start changing the world. You're going to have, it's going to come back to all these things between intercepting significant contraband to rescuing kidnapped children, all this stuff. And you're, by the way, you're going to have a nice life. It's going to be more financially stable and more comfortable than you thought it would be. And by the way, in year 9 and a half, you're going to fuck up and lose a significant amount of money, but then you're going to recover that again and get the steam's going to, will you take that deal? And I said to everybody, I would agree. And that's part of the deal of doing this. You know, I try to remind everybody that you're seeing our highlight reel, right? You're seeing our highlight reel. There are a lot of things in the background that we don't expose. And it's not because we have, it's just the part of the deal. It's part of doing the dance of business. You know, frivolous claims, not from people who attended, like past employees, BS lawsuits over nothing, right? Because of just, you know, all we do is just do the right thing always, you know, always do the right thing. and always behave properly, always treat everybody with respect. And I told somebody recently who I'm kind of business coaching a little bit, just because I feel like that's the give back for me. I said, the one thing that I can give you that I'm noticing about you is that you need to have a lot of humility, especially now that you have some attention. What you need to do is deploy a lot of humility, because there's a lot of responsibility that comes with having the attention that you have. And it is very, and they're not making more attention. And if you lose attention, you don't tend to get it back once you've lost somebody. So it's a very delicate process, but the more humbleness and humility you have, the more people are going to understand who you truly are. And sometimes as a human being, we get kind of lost in our own clouds at times, but stay grounded. You know what I mean? Stay very, very human, stay very grounded. And
that's everything.
Bro, people say to me like, man, Street Cops like really blowing up. And I'm like, do you think that? Honestly, I'm not even making this up. I'm like, yeah, you think so? And then like, we're looking at our podcast statistics yesterday, or 2 days ago, I'm sorry, Monday, because I was in Connecticut yesterday. And I said to Jules Terso, who's running the podcast at the moment, I said, can you put the analytics? And she pulls it up and we had like 5.4 million downloads in the past like 10 months, right? So I'm like, can you double check this? Is there another analytics thing? And she like switches to another one. She's like, yeah, it's, and I'm like, how many subscribers? She's like 301,000. I'm like, there's gotta be something wrong here, because I wake up, I drive from my house to the office. I come in, I do my thing, I go home. Right. And I'm living a busy life, but I'm a regular human being that is doing the best that I can. And it would be a shame if I didn't do the best that I could. And I think I have a lot to offer. And I've said this in the previous podcast, you plant a lot of these seeds, dude, and I don't do it with the intention of coming back to a garden. I do it because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes you get to come and look at your garden once in a while, and usually happens in class or with a guy like you, because if anything that I've said to help you progress and grow your company has helped you at all, and you don't have to say if it did or not, I don't care. Sure. I'm happy with that. And I don't want a thing for it. It just brings me a lot of joy that maybe I did something that could help you a little bit.
Well, good, because I can't afford you, first off. So thank you for all the free advice you gave me.
Yeah, but I'm free, dude. You know that. Adam Hadary knows that I'm fucking free.
Yeah, well, this the thing is, the value that we can bring to each other is huge, man. You talked about something that I kind of want to hit on real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
You talked about people only see the podium, right? They see us, or us, they see you, they see whoever at the absolute top of their game, but they don't see everything else below. When I left law enforcement in the Southeast in South Carolina, I took a $30,000 pay cut with a brand new baby. Had it just blessed my life. And I'll be 100% honest with you. I was out in my garage working out, and I had a very small garage at the time. So I had to pull all my stuff out of the garage and set it up. And I was actually bench pressing about 7,000 pounds, and no big deal. But it was nothing crazy. It was just kind of more of like a meditation for me. And I got done with my last set and I started crying. And I started crying because I had just literally called my lieutenant and my captain to tell him I was done. And they both are amazing individuals and both 100% supported me. They hated to see me go, but those guys, they're both still active. They're both captains and lieutenants still. And they're some of my best friends. And I'm totally proud to actually call them my friends. It was such a risk, a $30,000 pay cut from a stable job going into something that was just a vision. I can't even describe to you the feeling. And just the only thing that kept going through my brain was, I will not fail.
People say to me, I just go, I trust me.
Yeah.
I trust me.
I will not fail. I cannot fail. I hit the ground running so fucking fast that I cried, I wiped my fucking pussy ass tears away and got to fucking work literally that night.
Oh yeah, brother.
I just had a great workout. I was like, motherfucking, I hate my son. And I was like, I freaking racked the weight, dude. I ran my ass inside, got on my laptop and just started, guys,
grinding.
All right, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. What are our goals? Let's reverse engineer these things. I want to start working on this. And man, it was just, and now like, again, it's not just me. It's the EFT team. And we are so mission driven. I can't, it just consumes us in a way that is probably borderline unhealthy, but that's okay. Cause we absolutely love it. And we are so excited to see where this goes. We're so excited to start doing in-person workshops. We're actually trying to build a training facility here in Charleston, South Carolina. people can come to and host workshops and host classes. And we're also going to host classes and workshops as well. So we're super excited to do that. And it's going to be more of that fitness, health, and wellness combatives style stuff. So we're super pumped. And
it's great, dude. I love it.
Yeah, man. It's super pumped. And like, you know, what's so good about it is that what you're doing is now kind of what I believe is that. So we have this standard, right? We have the standard, what every cop goes through is just the standard, right? Training beyond that standard is always the goal.
The
right?
standard That's, joke. By the way, the standard is
you got to train beyond the stupid certification. It's a piece of paper.
The standard is, you know, I actually, just to make a point, I'm trying to figure out where the standard was set, and I've got a funny feeling I haven't figured out. You want to hear how I think the standard was made? Pete, Joe, Mary, sit down. They want the cops to get trained now. So we got a couple days. We got to make something. What do you think, Joe? I don't know. Why do you do something on handcuffs? Well, what do you say, Joe? I don't know. Get a picture of handcuffs. Show them what the handcuff is. This is the ratchet. That's the pin. This is the power, the safety block. Yeah, make that a block. 4 hours, 6 hours. Yeah, that's a day. We got one day down. What do you got next? The Minad knock baton. We'll use that. Power safety tick, long end, short end. The button. Make that a block. What should they do with it? I don't know. Fucking, what do you think? I don't know. Grab a bag, hit it, yell, get back. How's that? Man, it sounds like it'll take over 40 hours. How many hours do we have left? I got 700 hours left. All right. Perfect. Let's do this. Do we have any money for like real guns? No. No, we don't have any of that. Oh, the mace. How about the mace? We'll do something on the mace. What should we do? Yes, yeah, spray him in the face. Talk about the hydraulic and needle effect. It's oleoresin capsicum. That's important to know. Put a test out on how many Scoville heat units it is. That's a good one, right? Let's make a test about that. How about the law? All right, here's what we'll do. I don't know. Who wants to teach the law? Get one of these mopes down here at the county who knows nothing about the law. Give him a USB drive. Tell them to come down, stick it in the thing, put everybody to sleep. Once they get a nap, we'll bring them out. We'll make them march. I don't know. Make them march for, what are they marching for, Pete? Graduation. We'll do 20 hours a week of marching. So the graduation, it'll look good for 10 minutes. Well, hold on a second, John. How many more times are they going to march in their life? No, never. They're never going to do it again. No, we're a high level education law enforcement training center. You know, they're never going to march again. So you make sure that they're marching. And the funny thing is, dude, is like when you all think you're going to march again at that one time, you all have to try to march again because you're honoring somebody at like some usually at a wake or a funeral and nobody gets it right. You look like a fucking sloppy soup sandwich. You just give up and just walk, right? You just fucking walk. So, and I got to tell you, dude, if you don't think that's how it went down, that's exactly how it went down. They never consulted somebody who said, what do you think we should do? You're the guy, you're the girl, you know what the fuck to do. They put 10 people in a room and just came up with something. That's all, right? And then it's like things got more soft. They said, we should do something on community policing. Well, come in here and you can make a collage. And here's the construction paper, kids. And you, I've been to three of them, dude. I went to three of these fucking things. And I will give credit where credit's due. The best one of all three was the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. And what I mean by that is they actually had people who were thoughtful in designing programs.
Yeah,
there are things that I learned there. And by the way, it wasn't great, but it was significantly better than the stuff at the local level. And because they had the resources and they were taking brains from around the country and they were letting these people design these programs. We had a program. This is probably the best thing that I learned there. It was an HIT course called a high intensity training course. And what it did is you had to run through into, you know, you're in South Carolina. It's the fucking worst. You're in the woods, right? I don't think there's anything worse in the world than being in the woods in South Carolina or Georgia or something. You're fucking dying, dude. Right?
Like, hunts are fun.
So anyway, but this one course we had, the instructor sits behind this plexiglass with a hole cut out in the middle and he's got a paintball gun, right? This is 2004. It's a move and shoot course. Now, if you shoot at him, he allows you to take a few rounds of the sim. You shoot the sim gun at him. If you pop back up, he shoots you in the head. So what the purpose was is to learn to get off the X, move, and surprise him from a different angle. And dude, I think about that all the time. Like if I'm in a shootout and I'm behind this tire, even on the front of the car, and here's a guy shooting at me, I know that my next shot's got to be from the tire in the rear. So he doesn't know where I'm at. So he can't refocus on it because he's just waiting for me to pop up. And just that alone, just that training, that mindset, I run that through my head all the time. If I have to be in a shootout, constantly moving from one point of cover to another, to thwart and confuse your adversary is, and that was just one great thing there. Now, again, do I think it's some stupid shit? Yeah, there was things that were absolutely moot gestures and a little silly, but you know, it was better. And, you know, we have to put people who can really do this, have to put their brains together to come up with a better program. I don't know why we think we can send people to training and just check boxes for a job that if you fucking don't know what you're doing, it'll kill you in a second. Dude, and I'm not here to razz police academy directors. That's not the game. And I know that I'm trying to work on creating a new program and layout to say, here, this is what I came up with, right? Here, this is for you. Here, I made this. Right. Here, I made this. I'm not saying that they don't care. I'm saying it doesn't work. It's completely broken. And maybe some agencies and some academies throughout this country have really dialed it in nicely and have a much better program. But I'm telling you, across the board, it is horrible.
Oh, no, I agree. I was able to speak with about 300 plus agencies last year within a very short time frame. I had about, sometimes I had 6 or 8 Zoom calls a day to kind of vet some of these and some of the horror stories, man. Just, I mean, like the health and wellness side, just from the training standpoint. But there are some that are super squared away, like the Michigan State Police. Their academy is pretty squared away. Those guys are, I mean,
yeah, look at you trying to get their business. Look at you trying to get their business in here. I see that.
No, man, dude, they were like, I talked to, I think actually his name was Josh and Brian. Those two guys, man, super, super freaking squared away dudes.
I bet, dude, I'm sure.
Yeah. And two, but yes, like, so that actual paintball scenario, I had that same exact type of training in the academy, and I got super fucked up from it because I was getting, one instructor was telling me one thing, another was telling me one thing. And of course I'm like, okay, so what's the objective here? Like, what am I trying to learn? And of course I didn't know anything because I was, right, you know, fucking 22, 23 years old. And man, it's just like you said, I go back and think about my police academy and what I know now and the, and all the extracurricular training that I've attended. I can confidently say about 95% of what I remember that they taught me was literally wrong.
I mean, I have stories for, you know, I was driving home yesterday from Connecticut, right? And I started going back to like, cause dude, at 40 now, and like now with this whole thing and the, you know, the ball rolling and the amount of traction we have and the growth. Bro, my third academy, I was writing memos because they would say, if you think you got a better suggestion for this academy, write a memo. Brother, I'm telling you, I wrote so many memos. And I'm just like, I remember going into the, and this is a tough academy. This is not a fucking joke academy. This one was, they were not happy campers and they wanted blind obedience. And I just spoke up and they're like, what's the problem today? They come into the office, right? Request permission to enter, sir, enter, right? I come in, buddies. So you got a, sir, you know, yeah, you give us another memo, huh? Sir, yes, sir. What's the problem now? Well, to be honest with you, you guys for the past 7 weeks have been teaching people how to handcuff like this. Sir, do me a favor. Turn around, spread your feet, interlock your fingers behind your head, drop down to one knee, drop down to the second knee. I go, well, what's the problem with that? I go, cops don't arrest people like that. It never goes like that, ever. I've never even seen it done. I've seen it like once on Cops. I've seen it in the movies. That's not how it works. And they go, what do? I go, you walk up to somebody, you go, turn around, put your hands behind your back. Yeah. And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah. So you're telling us, you're setting us. And I can see myself in the office and go, you're literally telling us, right? You're telling us to do this, but nobody ever does this. Nobody does it. And nobody in this classroom is ever going to do it. And it's dumb. You know, we went to, it's just so silly, man. Just so much wasted time. We got certified as lifeguards in the academy. That was like the to-do, right? It was like this thing. It was like this guy who ran the academy. It was like his baby. I don't know if any agency that was there actually had any bodies of water where you have to lifeguard, right? Like, and by the way, I didn't even learn good things and I forgot them. It was just a big, stupid thing. What you should have done is a 2-day program like they did in the federal academy of like, do they taught us how to, if you got stuck in the water, how to use your pants as a flotation device. So I know how to do that. We learned about water rescue training. Like, what do you know what the number one rule of water rescue training is? I think we've talked about this.
I probably should know this considering I was an officer water survival instructor back in the day. But
the first rule of water training or water rescue is don't get in the fucking water.
Oh, yeah. Step one.
Step one. Don't ever get in the water. You know, and so I tell people, like, did you guys know that your spare tire in your car will float? So if you don't have anything to float with, you could take your spare tire out, you could throw it in the water, and you could hold on to that as you go out to try to rescue somebody. That's like your worst case scenario. How about this one, dude? How about when you watch these videos of these guys going into these bodies of water, these flood zones, in full gear? Motherfucker, get down to your goddamn underwear. 40 pounds of fucking gear on, and you're going into a body of water to rescue somebody. You got to go into your underwear and take your socks off as fast as possible and go in that shell. I don't care if you're going to have fucking turtle dick, right? You're going to be alive and you will sink. Like, are you, I'm watching these guys. I'm maybe, oh, I got to watch. Fuck your gun. Who cares where your gun is? Right.
Right. And man, this is the thing too, is there's so many, you know, guys that have ever worked Marine units or whatever, you know, being in Charleston, right, where you're on the water, you know, even the way you tie your shoes, the way you have your belt keeper set up, if you wear belt, you know, if you still wear belt keepers, but yeah, it's crazy. Like, and two, cause the amount of weight that you gain just from going into water, in full uniform is about 30 pounds.
It's crazy.
So now, right. Yeah. So now you're in the water with everything that literally sinks, your shoes. Now your vest will give you some buoyancy, like soft armor will give you some buoyancy until it gets, you know, completely saturated. And then now you're just wearing
a sinking weight.
And I mean, it does help with some internal temperature gain or stabilization, but yeah, it's like, I see some of this stuff and I'm like, yeah, take your shit off. Like, if you're going to rescue a kid in the water, you don't need your ass baton.
You don't need anything except your fucking underwear so nobody sees you're dead.
That's your training point. Wear underwear or you're going
That's
naked.
Right, dude. Leave your underwear on. And you know, dude, you watch these videos. Guys are fucking wading into water, full fucking gear. And I'm like, why has nobody said to these people, this is a bad idea? Why has nobody... dude, I hate to criticize people. Like, we should... I think every... You know, again, I say this and I promise you I'm going to make something to show water rescue. As a matter of fact, I'm thankful that I brought this up because... Let me just give advice to everybody who's listening here for the 300,000 subscribers that we have. Your first goal is to try to find rope or some kind of long stick to get to somebody. And then the last thing you want to do is get in the water. That's how people die. Now, again, am I going in the water after a four-year-old who's sinking? Yeah, I promise you I'm going in.
Like 100%.
I have four kids. I'm still going in. Like I'm ready to go to Ukraine and save children, to be honest with you, dude. Like, but I have four kids and I got to think about that on that side because that's a suicide mission. But like, how do I fucking help these people? Right. Like what can I have a good means. I've got solid financials. Like, you want to send 10 of these motherfuckers to my house? Send me 10 kids. Send me three families. We'll have them at our house right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'll take them. Right. I'll take refugees right now.
You kind of go back on the topic of the water rescue stuff. I made a post probably a couple years ago about the uncommon items to have in your patrol car where you're
talked about this with you and I.
You're like, damn, I really wish I had this.
Adam, I think about this a lot, by the way, about you and saying this. And I know
what you're saying. Yeah, it's, you know, 22 feet of nylon web is about 1 inch is super important. One, you can make all kinds of things with, you know, 22 feet, specifically like a helicopter hoister. If you're, you know, if you work in a kind of a mountainous area where, you know, you can't get down there, you can have some type of rope. Bug spray is fucking especially here in South Carolina, right? If you're on a manhunt and we have ticks and all kinds of fun stuff, and then the freaking mosquitoes can eat you up, and that can take away from some of your situational awareness. If you're worried about things buzzing around you, buzzing in your ears, biting you,
fuck that, dude.
Yeah,
that's why I live in New Jersey, bro. I can't handle that shit.
It's like, well, guess he just ran. He's gone.
You can actually walk around in the grass in New Jersey in bare feet. Just so you know.
That's amazing. I don't really know what that's like. I mean, I do. I just built calluses. I have like fucking like Shrek feet, basically.
You can walk comfortably in the grass and know you're not going to die.
Yeah. Not down here, bro.
Yeah. I was in North Carolina. My kids are at my wife's grandparents' house and they start running across the grass because they don't know any better. He goes, whoa, get them off the grass. I said, why? He goes, they can't be barefoot out here, bro. Don't fucking half this planet's going to eat them in about 3 minutes.
Welcome to the South.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, no, it's, and you know, too, like, so one other big one is, you know, some type of canine reward, you know, get with your canine units. I know the ones on here, they use like a 1 inch, pressure hose. That's kind of or get a tug or whatever. So if you ever have a canine handler down and the dog kind of goes into handler protect, you're able to, if the officer's down and maybe he's possibly bleeding out, you know, you can possibly prevent shooting the dog or having to injure the dog to get to the downed officer.
So smart, dude. You know,
they just, you know, they just don't do those things. So there's just some things that I've, cause I've heard stories. I was in Tulsa, training with Tulsa SWAT not that long ago. I say not long ago, probably about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And they had a situation where something like that happened with a canine went handler protect. And they're like, yeah, we didn't know what to do. Like, we didn't want to shoot the dog, you know, blah, blah, you know. And so they're like, yes, we ran back to his Tahoe, smashed in the back window because it was locked up, and grabbed the freaking bite sleeve and was able to get the dog off with the ear, or to kind of distract the dog, you know, kind of from the handler. But I'm like, well, why don't you just use like some type of reward? Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't, right? Sometimes those dogs don't go fuck about the reward. They just want the person, but it's worth a try. You know, if that's something that is important to you, you know, obviously priority of life is super important, but that's also one thing to do, guys, is spend the extra time with your canine units, with those kind of specialized units. And if they have some types of tips or tricks they can give you to help them, like, cause I've seen guys on tracks, on canine tracks, and they're like, yeah, man, like, all right, let's go track this dude. And then they've never tracked a dude with the canine unit before. So now the canine guys know their tactics, but this guy who's with them, you know, for Officer X doesn't know their, you know, search pattern, their strategy, their tactics. So get with those units, maybe learn some of their tactics. Those can just kind of things on patrol that can help you. So the nylon webbing, the bug spray, even sunscreen, and then fucking a dog reward, and all these extra pair of underwear and socks. Cause I hate,
hey bro, how about this one? Here's one for the rooks, for people coming on the job. You listen to this podcast, always have water and food.
Check.
Right. Like, don't ever go on this job without water and food. And I mean, you don't got to eat it every day. You better have 5 fucking granola bars in your duty bag, and or 5 Cliff bars, whatever you like to eat. Because brother, I'm going to tell you, you get stuck on a gig, you're stuck there sitting for 14 hours and you're fucking starving. And, or if it happened an hour before your lunch break, right? You're already down 6-7 hours. You're going to be miserable.
100%.
Always have snacks, dude. And, dude, throw a couple MREs in. I mean, MREs taste like dog shit, but
yeah, absolutely. Cardboard. But dude, that's the thing too, is, you know, we talk about it from our perspective, from a human performance, you know, kind of perspective, because everything we look through is science and research based, right? So like, you know, you being dehydrated, you also not getting adequate recovery, and you also lacking calories and burning energy, you know, those are definitely going to affect where if you're on perimeter for fucking 12 hours and then all of a sudden you have to use force, or you have to make accurate shots on target on a threat, that's going to affect you. That's going to affect your performance in that situation. So
no question.
Definitely water, stay hydrated, the food, the fucking tuna packets, the whatever you have to have, but always have adequate food, because guys, that is just as important as any tool in your fucking tool belt. Because you are, if you're not feeding the biggest tool, which is yourself, to be able to manipulate the other tools, then that don't do anything without you, then you're going to see performance kind of drop there. And just like you said, in this profession, performance can't drop, because it can't happen.
Yo, you know? I'm going to make a thing that says 5 things to have in your duty bag on a post. I'm stealing it.
Please feel free.
Want me to give it to you too?
Yeah, I don't care.
In your duty bag. I'm going to tell the girls.
Yeah, man. It's just small things that could make a huge difference. And that's where, I mean, you talked about the life stuff, man. Like, I mean, granted, I was on a Marine unit, but like, you know, I always had a life jacket or some type of like, you know, deflatable, just cause, man, you never know. Like, I mean, there's water all around here. I mean, I'm fucking on the ocean. So, you know, we have one of the largest harbors in the Southeast, really on the East Coast. So, you know, all kinds of shit happens there, but man, there's such a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, again, people ask me, who do I learn from all the time? And I say people like you, Will Petty, the guys on the Effective Fitness team, Jay. There's just JJ Ricaza, who's a former law enforcement guy. He's like the world's best competition shooter. Just a phenomenal human being. He'd be good for your podcast as well.
Dude, but set it up, bro. I like, you know, we are very, very much tripling down on the podcast. So
next time I'm coming to New Jersey to do it. I'm not doing this thing on the fucking computer anymore.
So stop being a Mary, get your ass on a fucking plane, but come in the summer.
Okay. Yeah, bro. Fuck this cold shit. I don't know how y'all do.
It's not even that, dude. Like, you have no idea how amazing this place is. As soon as the weather breaks, it is like nothing you've ever seen in your life. And dude, I listen, I'm not partial to it, cause I live here. Right. I am telling you the truth from an arbitrary standpoint. There is nothing like New Jersey in the summer anywhere in this country. And there's some great spots, like Scottsdale, Arizona is legit, right? Like Fort Worth, Texas is legit. But like, this place is nuts in the summer. Wild.
Dude, I'm down.
It's amazing. The energy is great. Everybody's loving life and living life. And but you're going to be surprised how friendly people are here. It's contrary to what MTV is portraying.
Really?
Well, dude, think about me. I mean, literally going to get times tired. 7 million. You met me and Jay. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, so most of my family on my mom's side is from Connecticut. So
different. Because I was just in Connecticut.
Because they're not nice.
It could be a little hillbilly-ish in Connecticut, believe it or not.
Yeah, they're from New Haven. So I've only been there once, and the pizza was good. I knew that.
Yeah, New Haven's got good food. New Haven's more towards the city. I don't know much about it, but yeah, I was there yesterday in Mohegan, and it's a little hicky. It's a little hicky up there.
A bunch of rednecks.
Listen, bro, I'm telling you, like, Pennsylvania's in the north, but Pennsylvania is basically Kentucky. You know what I mean? Like, that's... Bro, you drive in the middle of Pennsylvania, those are fucking hill folk, dude. That is Jerry Springer country big time.
So basically what you're
saying, I stopped at like a Sheetz kind of and like gas stations out there and like that, like 11 o'clock at night while I'm traveling. I'm like, oh, damn. Right. Like this place is interesting.
Yeah. Well, because I remember you came down here the first time that I took your course, which I highly recommend.
Thanks.
It was great. But yeah, I remember you came down. You're like, I don't know where the fuck I am. This hillbilly ass town.
Well, where was the first place? In the Berkeley middle of nowhere,
County,
right?
You were in Berkeley County, which is like pretty fucking hills, bro.
Well, it's a big county. They host usually, but huge that first county. Place we did it at was like that like shack in the middle of nowhere in, what's the name of that town? Monk's Corner.
Yeah. And bro, that's like meth fucking city right there. You could probably tell driving around.
Well, we do it now closer to Charleston and it's wonderful, dude.
Yeah, so Charleston's like super nice, man. Like, there's a lot of history here, it's kind of very, I mean, bro, like Charleston's we went to go eat at Magnolia's, I think. And that was super, super nice where you thought you saw that famous actor guy that you couldn't stop.
But it wasn't him.
No, it was definitely not him. No.
Yeah, whatever, dude. We only exist. Yo, I gotta go, man. We gotta stop because we'll go all day.
If
you want to do this podcast again in the summer, dude, come out here, bro. As we're filming this March 2nd, 2022. Man, come out here for June. Oh my, dude. Come spend 2 days. Bro, it's great. And check out the operation. See what we got going on as well. Make it like a scouting trip as well.
Hell yeah.
So everything that's going on here, and we'll probably have 5 more employees by then. So we're at 20 now, a few part-timers, and then probably 25 by that time. But anyway, guys, check out Adam Hidari's Instagram, Effective Fitness, and Police Posts, and effective.fitness is the website. Also check out treecop.com. Don't forget about us as well. And if you guys enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review on Apple iTunes and check out, you got a podcast too, bro, right?
Yep.
You going to put this shit on your podcast?
Yeah, I can. Sure.
All right. So make sure you get a copy from us. We'll send a file down to you. You got to ask Jess for the file. She got it over to you.
I'll text her right now.
All right, brother. It's good seeing you, man.
Thanks, Dennis.
It's good seeing you, dude. Okay. Bye.